When I found streaming, I actually got to be like myself, and then people understanding my sense of humor, I guess I was hanging out with the wrong people, or they just didn't understand me as a person. So when I started streaming, it really helped me kind of understand my personality, and that, like, yeah, it might not be for everybody, but there are people out there who will understand personality. And ever since then, I really do believe that streaming helped me break out of my shell in a lot of ways.
Brandon, welcome to the pod. It's so exciting to have you on and learn more about your journey as a creator.
Excited to be here, so thanks for having me. It's an honor to be able to talk about this kind of stuff, especially how long I've been doing it. So I'm really excited to dive in and teach, you know, new creators about like what they can do and stuff, and from my experience, hopefully learn from me and all that good stuff.
Sweet, man. Well, let's dive in. The first thing we like to do, just to get warmed up, is a couple of rapid fire questions just to kick things off right at the very beginning. Retro Thursdays are super popular on your channel.
Yeah.
Now, what's one game you hope stays in the past and doesn't come back?
Oh, Lord. That's a big one. Okay, so there's this game that I played a long time ago. I mean, I feel like people might get mad for me for saying this, but I played it and I was just very disappointed. I recently played a game called Clock Tower, which is, I guess, the second one that's in like the series for PlayStation, and I was like super excited, and it's like kind of a rare game to like find too as well, so I spent kind of a lot of money on it. But I played it on stream, and like I got the very bad ending, like the worst ending of like all the endings, and I was like really invested in the story, and the game is a little difficult towards the end, so I had to like walk through to play it, but finally finished it, and I was just like, you know what, I regret buying it, but it was a nice trip to go through, but I would like to leave that in the past. I probably will never play that game again, but it was just kind of a good experience, but like the ending was just very bad, and especially like the last, like I guess, sequence with the boss and stuff like that. It was so difficult, so I wouldn't leave that behind. Yeah.
Well, I still have to ask before we leave it behind, how much did you pay for that game?
I paid $200 for it. Yeah, and yeah, it's a lot of money. Like I collect video games too as well. So it was the first time I ever seen it like in like physical form. So I was like, oh, you know, I have the money, I might as well. When will I ever see this game again? And then, you know, I regretted it later.
Wow, $200 for a game that you don't, that's an investment.
Yeah,
that's
it's an investment. I could definitely say that I have spent, you know, some decent amount of money on some games, but like the ones I really do cherish, like I really hope, like obviously they're gonna gain value over the years, but it's just nice to have, because for me, I buy a lot of the games I couldn't afford as a kid, so, and then I play them now and I get to experience it like in a whole different way too, so it's kind of fun.
I love that. Well, one of the things I was looking at is your entire like Instagram is like dedicated, it's super cool. Like, if you're listening, you need to go check out Brandon's Instagram collection handle. It's like all these old games.
Yeah.
If there was a fire.
Oh, God.
Right? You've got all these games under fire.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to save one game. Which game is it you're going to save?
Oh, okay. Let me look. I'm looking really quick. What? I would say, just from looking, wow, I have so many games. I would say Eternal Darkness for the GameCube. It's like this horror game that came out that always I have said it deserves a sequel, but it will never happen. But it was like the very first game that I bought when I was like 10 with like my own money on my birthday. And then I played it, absolutely loved it. I've tried to play it a few times on stream, but like it's the fact that I already beat it and I already know what happens. It's not as fun, but it's like, it's just so, it's rare to find too, especially if it's like with the case and also like the book and stuff like that. So I see it right there. I'm like super excited to see it.
So that's not the most, it's not the most expensive. It's just.
Yeah. But like personally to me, it's like my little story as a young kid with that. Yeah.
Cool. One of the things you're known for is being a horror fan. Is there one that you're too scared to just like, I'm not going back to that game?
Oh, that's a good one. So there are quite a few games. Let me think. There's a game called, I think it's called Home Sweet Home. It's Home Sweet Home, I think. I'm pretty sure it's on Steam. And it's this like game where it's just like you're going through like different areas and stuff like that. And like, you know, it's first person. So those are the ones that get me really scared, because like you just, it's like you walking around and dealing with situations. But that game is very scary because you go through different like enemies and stuff like that. The first one starts kind of slow, but it's this schoolgirl who's walking around with like a razor blade trying to stab you. And then you go to another world where it's this like big monster troll that's trying to like, you know, attack you. And I got to that point and I was just like, you know what? I don't think I could do that. I've only played it for charity, and I haven't gotten very far because that game is very scary to me.
It's just like when it's super like dark, which is what you're like doing a lot of nighttime streams.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Is that something you landed on because it's niche that like you wanted to get into that time slot, or is it that just it's better for you?
It's kind of always worked better for me because, like, you know, I usually would work during the day and then like stream at night. And so I've just always kind of kept that like nighttime slot and stuff like that. And a lot of my viewers are like, you know, they're usually like getting home from work and they want to watch something. So they watch me on Twitch and all that good stuff. But it's always worked for me. But I've always like imagined what it'd be like streaming during the day, which I don't know if I could, you know, I don't know. I've just always been working as I've been streaming as well. So it's just I'm just like on that schedule all the time.
What is it? We talk about your schedule. Like, what does it look like when if you like your pre-stream routine and then like post-stream, what's going on for you?
I do a lot. So basically, like, you know, my time schedule is so weird. I usually start work around noon and I usually have like calls and meetings and stuff like during from like noon to around like 6 p.m. I try to stop around 6 because like, you know, an hour before I'm supposed to stream, I got like get things ready. And then I start streaming around 7 p.m. Central Time. And then I usually go to at least like 10 p.m. Central Time, depending on how I feel. But like I try to do like I do 3-hour streams just because my stamina for streaming has gotten a lot as I got older, so kind of slow down a little bit. But like, you know, I'm like in that 3 range, which I think is for me in the kind of games I play is kind of good for me because like I can imagine playing a horror game for like 6-7 hours. That's a lot to deal with, a lot of scariness, and my little heart can't take all that.
I mean, yeah, be emotionally taxing. Like, what are you, so when you're when you're streaming, then like after it, what is that like wind down? Is 10 o'clock at night, are you going straight to bed, or do you need like a little bit of decompressing time?
When I finish streaming, if it's like, you know, 10 p.m. I usually like go through my stream, like review it, see if like there was like anything messed up, kind of go through my clips too, because then I use that as like, you know, content on like, you know, on other socials and stuff like that, so I can post it like on the next day. And I don't usually go to sleep till like 4 a.m. in the morning because I'm just always up all the time. So I'm just like, you know, watching Twitch and just doing different stuff, like catching up on emails during that time period. I say that my schedule is just out of control and I should get a better handle of it, but it's just like I like the chaos of it. It keeps me excited, I guess.
And then you're up again at 10 and you're hitting work at 12 basically.
Yeah. So it's like kind of like a ring around the rosy kind of thing. I don't suggest people do that kind of thing, but it's just that I've been able to just like keep up with my schedule with streaming and stuff like that. It's just been the easiest thing for me just to like do stuff at night because, like, you know, obviously people are not awake, so it's just like I can get things done and I don't have to worry about like my neighbors hearing me and stuff like that during the day and all that kind of stuff. So yeah
totally makes sense. One of the things I wanted to chat about is just branding.
Yeah,
I used to go by UGR Gaming back in 2017. Ooh. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then you changed to I Am Brandon. What was it about that that you made that decision to switch? And do you think it's really important to like evolve your brand?
That's one thing that I was glad that we're going to talk about this is that, when I first started, I was going by under the name UGR Gaming, which was my website I used to write for and, you know, used to be the editor in chief of. The name on the Twitch channel, that was just for the website. And I started streaming under that. So then people just started calling me that, which I was like, okay, that's a little weird because, like, you know, that's not my name. And I always would have to explain to people what it was, which I always have told people, like, if you have to explain what your name means, it's probably not a good name to start off with. A few years ago, I was just kind of like sitting around. And I was just like, you know what? I want to change my name. And I knew a few people who like had rebranded previously. And I was just like, you know what? It was the time where Twitch, like you could change your name finally. So I went on social media and I like Googled, like there's this website that I've used to see where the name, if it was used in other places. So I knew like, okay, this name would be used here. So I probably shouldn't take this name. So I searched up I Am Brandon because that was the one that just kind of popped in my head and then it wasn't being used anywhere. So I ended up like, you know, taking the name. And for me, it's a lot easier because I was just like, no, I'm like, the whole thing is like, I'm telling people like, yeah, I'm Brandon. And it's like, no, my name is Brandon. You can call me Brandon, all that good stuff. But I do kind of like it though, because it just, I guess for me, it makes me stand out a little bit. But then it's always the joke when like someone's like, oh, what is your username? I'm like, oh, I am Brandon. My name is Brandon.
Yeah.
I think for creators, it's very important to just like get your branding right from the get-go, just so you don't have to change it later. Because what ended up happening to me was that after I changed my name and I was going live on Twitch, people would be like, oh, I don't remember following this person. I'm going to unfollow them because they're like, I don't recognize this name, especially if they didn't like actually go into the stream to look at it. I've seen that before happen to me where someone's notification will pop up on my phone. I'm like, who is this? I don't remember following. Oh, well, I'm going to unfollow. So good to get the branding off correctly. Like I always suggest people try not to have numbers in your name or like not naming yourself after like a video game or something else, because then it's like, what if you don't like that game later on in life and then you got to change it up later on? So don't name yourself Minecraft Steve if you end up not liking Minecraft later on in the future.
Yeah, I've seen so many of those. I came from the League of Legends community for many years, and like so many people just had LOL at the back of their name. And I was like,
I don't
want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You have a background in communication and marketing. It's super evident.
Yeah.
When you go to your website, iambrandon.tv, it's very clear that like,
yeah,
it's just clean. It's super clean. And it really stands out as a creator. And like a fan of many. It's really cool. How important do you think it is for a new creator to establish a website like that, or portfolio, just to kind of represent the brand?
If you have that kind of experience, I think it's good to have it out there. What I ended up learning was that people were finding me from my website, because like I worked with a really great website designer, Dan Pollock, which is he's great. Does a lot of stuff with a few different people that I work with. But like we really got together, talked about what kind of things that I wanted to make sure that I was representing on the website. So my thing was like, if people are finding me on Google, they can see like all the brand stuff that I've done. Like, and if they want to work with me, they can actually contact me. They can see articles that I've been featured in, or just like podcasts I've been on, and then see like the work that I've done. So I think for creators, it is important to like have something like that. It's not necessary like in the beginning, but I think like after you've been around for a while, it's good to have like a secondary place where people can find all your work in one place, and they can actually like take a look and see what, you know, what they could do with you. And then you could just have like an online portfolio, which I think is always good. So that's why I kind of have like connected to everything and to all my social media. So when people like click to try to find like my Twitter, they can go to my website too and find it there. You can make these websites yourself if you want to, or Fiverr does that too, where you can like look up somebody who can help you. But if you're looking to kind of expand your stuff out there, I think a website is perfect. That's why I did it, and I tried to make it very like a little bit different than other people I saw, but also like make it like my own unique kind of way.
When you did it, was it something you dove into right at the beginning, or was it like years into it you were like, oh, okay, I need a website now?
Yeah. It was definitely like a few, well, I definitely did it in the last like 2 years. So it had been a long time before I was like ready to make it, but I got to a point where I was like actually being in a lot of stuff and like, you know, working with different brands. And I thought it was really important to kind of showcase that, so I could show people like, hey, yeah, I've worked with Nike. Yeah, I've worked with Xbox, and I've worked with Butterfinger. I've worked with like Hennessy, like, and just show that so people could see it. And then also I always made sure to like have like a link to like, you know, if I said like, oh, I work with Nike, I made a click link where you could click to see like what I did with Nike, and you could see like, oh, okay, like, yeah, he did like do the stuff too. So maybe he'll be worth the activation to work with him, all that good stuff. So
yeah. No, that's could you imagine, like, I can imagine just like linking this brand that you not actually work with them, but you link the brand, and it's like, I'm sure I did work with them. Like their competitors, like, I really, well, if you worked with them, I want to work with them. I could see that being like a cheeky way to do it. I don't think it's actually legal, but it's a cheeky, cheeky thing that I'm sure people do. One thing I just want to highlight is your personality. It's super amazing and electric, which is obviously why you built such an incredible following that you have. But you said that you used to be super awkward in school.
Yeah.
Streaming like help you embrace you, Brandon? Like, how did you get out of your comfort zone? Because a lot of folks that are just starting on this journey are like, it's like, oh, I'm not made for that. I can't do that.
So funny that you asked this question. And also, I got to see some of my older friends from like grammar school, like a few days ago. I actually was talking to them about this. When I was younger, I was like, I guess I was kind of always the odd kid. And I was always making like, you know, jokes that people like didn't understand my humor and stuff like that. So I kind of got made fun of a lot in high school for that. And then when I found streaming, I actually got to be like myself, and then people understanding my sense of humor. I guess I was hanging out with the wrong people, or they just didn't understand me as a person. So when I started streaming, it really helped me kind of understand my personality, and that like, yeah, it might not be for everybody, but there are people out there who will understand personality. And ever since then, I really do believe that streaming helped me break out of my shell in a lot of ways, because like, and for me, I was definitely socially awkward too as well. I mean, I still deal with like social anxiety, like, you know, going out and meeting new people. In the last year and a half, I definitely like have opened up like my friend group bigger than it was before. A lot of it was because I was very nervous to be around people who I respected and admired. And one day I was just like, you know what, like they're people like me. I could just go up to them and say hi to them and all that good stuff. This happens to me at conventions too, like in the past too, where I just was like kind of in my little bubble, like, oh, like I don't know if people know me, and the people will come up to me, I'm like, oh, hi, how's it going? Yeah, so Siri definitely helped me break out of my shell. And I think if you're a shy person, it really does kind of help like be able to communicate with people with them not being there, so you don't feel judged, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I think it's hard to put yourself out there, when you started doing streaming, did that help you break into the DJ side, or was it the other way around that you were already doing that and you brought that to?
Yeah, I've always been an appreciator of electronic music. Ever since I was a kid, I always talk about this. Favorite video game is Streets of Rage for Sega Genesis. So if you ever played that game, it's a beat 'em up, but it's like it has really, really good music in it. And so that's where my love for electronic music came from. So I just kind of always had it around me. And it wasn't until COVID started and we were inside and we were doing quarantine and all that kind of stuff where I was just like, you know what? I want to pick up this hobby and see what it's like. And I streamed my process of learning how to DJ on Twitch. Oh, and that was kind of like my first audience. Yeah, and I was very nervous about it because playing music for people and not knowing how they're reacting to it is like very hard. But I went through it and, you know, people were liking the music and they're just like, whoa, I've like never heard this kind of music before. This is really cool, which I've been very happy to see that a lot of people are now getting into the music that I played. And then it started last year kind of as a joke with a friend where I was just like, oh, you should book me for a gig. And he's like, okay, I'll book you. And I was like, wait, I was joking. I wasn't being serious. Like, I ended up doing like my very, very first like in-person show last year. And I was like scared out of my mind to do it. And I was just like, oh my God, I don't know why I did this or I made that joke. But I felt like I should just try it. And I did my first show and like, you know, my friends came and then there was just like a lot of people who were like who didn't know who I was. And they were coming up to me and being like, oh my God, like you're really good. Like, you know, do you play often? Like where do you play? And I was just like, this is my first show.
That must have been huge for you. Like for someone with social anxiety, like getting comfortable in your room with the stream is like one thing, but being out there performing in front of a group, that must have been huge.
Yeah, huge experience. And I still appreciate that time because it was like, I knew what it felt like to perform live in front of people. Because like, yeah, when I'm streaming on Twitch, I am performing in front of people, but I don't actually see them and I can't see their reactions besides what they say in the chat. But that feeling I had, like being like, you know, I really do love performing and performing live for people was like why I decided to like take it more seriously. So I bought like the real decks and I started like practicing more, and you know, the gigs have been coming in. I've been doing it for like about 7 months now, like actually like doing shows like that, and it's been really cool to like network and get to work with people who I actually like. I used to go and support them when they go DJ, and now they're booking me for shows. And I'm going to be actually doing a show for Pride in June at the same place where I first DJed at, so it's kind of gonna be like a kind of like a full circle. Yeah, so I'm gonna be playing with some legendary Chicago DJs. I'm like, okay, I gotta make sure I practice.
That's super cool. I mean, generally it's hard to balance this job. But how do you balance? Because you've got multiple ventures, you've got, you know, hosting, your work. How do you balance all of it and like actually make time for just you?
Okay, that's the thing about me is it's bad to say, but I feel like I don't usually do alone time because I don't like being by myself very often. So that's why I talk to like I'm very sociable. So I like meeting people and talking to people and stuff like that. But like I think my alone time is like when I'm hanging out with my friends or if I'm like streaming on Twitch, like that is good for me. Like I don't need to, you know, go out like walk around too much or need to like go here and relax. I don't like being bored, if that makes sense. So that's why I'm always doing something, because I like having my hands in different places. So it's like just making sure that I never have like any boring time in my life. I want to spend this amount of time in my life having fun. So that's what I'm all about. Positivity and good vibes.
You spend a lot of time with the charity, like philanthropic side of things. How has that impacted you as a creator and as a person?
It's kind of funny because I actually didn't really realize like how far back in my life that I was doing charity stuff and how it's like been a part of my life now. Because like when I was in high school, I used to volunteer at like soup kitchens and do like drives for the homeless and stuff like that. It was just like something I forgot that I used to do. And so when I started streaming and I really wanted to do like my own kind of like charity event, and I reached out to a friend and we were talking about like doing this big event where we just had a bunch of streamers come in and we all stream for the same cause and we all play scary games and stuff like that. And it just kind of became this thing that we did like every year. And, you know, people got excited about it and Twitch was like very wanting to be involved with it. And so they came in and sponsored for this event. And I ended up finding the job that I have now just like looking on LinkedIn, and I thought it was not real because I was like, okay, so I'd be working for a charity and I'd be finding streamers to like run charity streams, and then also like being able to like work my own schedule. I get to like make a difference in this world and still like pay rent. Okay, let's do it. I've been at, you know, my company Soft Gifting for a year now, which is this, yeah, it's just past a year. Wow. And it's just been really cool to, you know, work with different streamers. And also like some of the streamers who I actually brought on to stream for us and stuff like that actually have turned into employees for Softgiving because they had a great experience and like they have really great positive attitudes. And a few weeks ago, the CEO was like, hey, we really love what you're doing and like, you know, how you're bringing in like a lot of great people and stuff like that. We want you to have a piece of the company. And so we asked you to be a co-owner of our company, which I'm like, okay, I will not say no to that. So So technically I am a co-owner of Softgiving, which is really cool to say, but I still get to work with streamers and all that kind of stuff. My job hasn't changed. I want it to stay like that because I still want to work with streamers because that has always been my passion. All the jobs I've had in this industry have always been working with streamers or influencers in that kind of way. And the last job I was at, I was unhappy because I was not working with streamers as much as I wanted to. I was working more with like game developers and stuff like that. And that's a whole nother ballpark dealing with personalities like that. But it's just been really cool to go back into the streamer space and then finding people who may not have like thought that they'd be good to do charity stuff, but then find out that they're really good at it and it's succeeding in really great ways. And I think that in streaming in general, I think there's a lot of stories that can be told, especially through charity. We always hear about like the big streamers who are raising like, you know, millions or thousands of dollars, but there's a lot of these streamers who are like having maybe 20 viewers who are like raising like, you know, over $1,000 and more, like, and doing it often. Because I've definitely seen it over the last year and stuff.
Because we see that a lot in our community pipeline. A lot of creators are really want to do a lot of charity initiatives. What are the kind of discrepancies are like things that the industry just gets in the way of making that happen for small creators that like Softgiving is helping with?
The one thing that we're very adamant about is that we want to make that every person that we work with feel like they are important. We do work with like, you know, larger creators, but we like the main people on my team, we work with like people who are in, you know, the 20 viewers CCV and up from that kind of era. And I love seeing these people grow in that kind of way because like you see them in the start and then as they grow, it's like, you know, we're already working with them and showing them that they're important and what they can do more in the future with other brands and other stuff like that. We have definitely been a lot of people's like first partnerships, which is great to see. And we're very adamant about making sure that the creators, they're doing their work and they're also like getting the respect for it and like that we're behind them and showing them support. Because doing charity streams by yourself is a lot. So our team coming in and helping them throughout the entire process is like something that is really important to me. And that's why when I interviewed for the job, they told me exactly what I'd be doing. I was like, I wish I had this around when I was doing charity streams, so I wouldn't be doing it alone. But it's been really cool to be a part of it and also like bring on new charities as well in the process.
I love that. I mean, most of the solutions I've seen in this space are focused on bigger creators.
Yeah,
so it's cool that you're helping support smaller ones. One of the things we were chatting about just before we got on was you're in Chicago. You're meeting back up in September for the first time in years
because of
the pandemic. How is this going to be for the Chicago, you know, streaming community? How's it going to be for you?
Yes, I'm very interested because the last one we had was actually my final one as the founder of Twitch Chicago. I'm really excited to go back in as an attendee because I've never done that. I've always been the person who was running it, but I've been talking to, you know, the founder now about what they're planning on doing. And they're going back to the Metro in Chicago, which was where the last one was at. I think it's going to be big and they're going to definitely have like precautions and stuff like that to make sure everybody's safe. But I think everybody's been waiting to like meet each other, especially there's been a lot of newer streamers who've come through in the last like year or so. So like, it's going to be great for them to connect with people who are locally. Also, we're just going to have like people from like out of state come out for this, which is so wild. I still can't believe like people were like, yeah, I'm from Canada. I came all the way to Chicago to come hang out because we don't have this here or people don't have that in their local area. And I'm really excited to see what this chapter of Twitch Chicago will be like. I know they have a lot of stuff going on and I'm just excited to see it grow because that was one of the things about when I left it, I knew I was leaving it in the hands with someone who I trusted and also who could elevate it more than I could have ever. And he's already done it already. So from what he's already told me. So it's going to be a really cool event and I'm going to be a part of it in some kind of way. I can't say yet, but I will definitely be there, but I'll be doing something there too.
That's super cool. I think when you get the chance to bring the online, offline and have that space where people you mentioned, you know, there's not a lot of folks necessarily around you that are into that thing. And it's just good to kind of bring that group together. So I think it's super cool what you're doing for Chicago.
Yeah, thanks. The funny thing about it is that one of the reasons I actually did start it was because I was lonely. I didn't know anybody who was streaming on Twitch in Chicago. So I was like, you know what, let me make this event and see what happens with it. And luckily I was able to find people who are also in the area who wanted to come hang out. And like the first one, we had like 30 people. And then from there, it just like kind of kept growing. Cause here, like, we don't have too many gaming events like that. It's just kind of like sporadically in different places. So I wanted something that was specifically for Twitch. So people who were streaming on Twitch or watch Twitch could come and hang out and all the good stuff. And one of the cool things about it was that we were able to make people feel very important. And so it wasn't like, oh, I'm a partner or I'm an affiliate. Like, everybody was just hanging out. That is what my goal was for it to be. And it's continuing, which is great. So September, there'll be some more Twitch stuff.
Well, if you're listening and you're in the Chicago area, yeah. You're near the Chicago area, yeah. You got to go check it out. Brandon, you're a massive advocate for minority groups,
yeah.
Especially in this industry. Mm-hmm. What advice would you have for creators of color in the community or LGBTQ creators that are just getting started, and they're, you know, just at the very beginning of their journey?
I am African American. I'm also, I'm gay as well. So I'm a part of two communities. So it's like, you know, the double things are going there. So when I first started in like trying to make a name for myself in the gaming space, I was already knew I was going to have to deal with stuff from the beginning, no matter what. So I kind of was like, okay, let me just see what it's like. Let me test the waters and see how it was. So I was not really very open about like my sexual life for a very long time because I was nervous and scared about how people were reacting. Just in general, like in the creator space, I didn't know a lot of people who were like me. And then when I started to feel like, you know what, like, I want to be vocal about these issues. I want to talk about these things because like the things that I deal with, I know other people are dealing with it. And like, no one's really talking about it. I started being very vocal about a lot of things on the internet. And that's how I started to kind of get, I guess, a little attention because I was telling my story, talking about the things I was going through. And obviously there are people who are also like me who are going through the same thing and wanting to see change and people like themselves like within the space. And so that's why I've always kind of have fought for representation, which I think is very important because I think there's so much not being noticed in the gaming industry. Luckily now things are starting to like shift, but we still have a lot of people who are gatekeeping and also don't want to see us in the space as well, which my answer to that is that we're not going anywhere, so we're just gonna have to deal with it. But I think for creators who are just starting and who are in this kind of group that I am in, I think it's very important to always stay authentically yourself and never hide yourself for an audience or for a viewer, for a follower. There are going to be people who are going to come and go no matter what, so you might as well be yourself the entire time. Unfortunately, you will have to deal with hate online. That's just one thing you're gonna have to deal with. And I am a person who never wants to say you have to have tough skin to get through it because, yeah, like I've dealt with a lot of people who have said really horrible things to me most recently last week. But like people will say really horrible things to you, but you have to really realize that you could do so much better than that. And you can rise above it. And that's why it's good to have like a support system of people who support you. And especially if you know your viewers support you and who you are as a person, like that's always a great way of sticking to yourself and feeling whole, if that makes sense. Like feeling like you're being completely yourself, which I think is very important because I don't know how I would have been able to last as long as I did if I was stuck to the same route where I was trying to be family friendly as a streamer. And that is just not me. I eventually had to come to terms of being finally myself, and it's been great. I mean, I've just been so blessed to be able to work with so many different brands and being able to talk about my story and people still respect me and also understanding my mission and my message of what I try to put out there about like everybody should be authentically themselves, no matter who they are. I think it's important, and especially people will gravitate towards you when they know that you're being real.
Yeah, it's exhausting when you're not being yourself. It like wears you down, and it totally grinds on you over time. What do you think are the best ways to just, if you're starting a community and you're, whether it's virtually or in person, kind of cultivating a community?
For me, it was starting with my friends first and being like, hey, you know, I'm streaming. Can you like come check me out, like hang out with me and all that kind of stuff? I think it's always good to start around the people who are around you already to see if you can get that support. The way I'm a streamer now, I am not the typical streamer. I play whatever I want, play the most random games, and I still have an audience, which is so wild. But I think it's really important to just kind of figure out what kind of streamer you want to be or like what kind of games you want to play. For me, like I love retro games, as we talked about earlier, and also like horror games. I personally don't like them always, but my audience likes it, so I'll do what they want me to watch. And some of these games are actually pretty good, even though some are very scary. Figure out what kind of streamer you want to be, and then also just figure out what games you want to play, because that's I think that's the most important. Or if you don't want to play a game, maybe you want to do music, or you want to do art, or if you want to do creative, you know, that I think that's the most important.
Yeah, because you always get like put into this box of like do this thing, because if you don't feel good about it, mm-hmm. you're only going to do that for so long before you, you know, give up or you change your mind or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You mentioned, obviously, you're really excited about Twitch Chicago later this year, but is there anything else you're like super excited about?
Oh, there's a lot of stuff going on. So I've been working with the people at Rooster Teeth for the last like 2 years. So I've done like a few videos with them. Actually, recently first met them all. Well, not all of them, but most of them in person a few months ago. We did a video together, which was pretty cool. So I will be at RTX this year. So I'm excited. So I'm going to be a special guest, which is pretty wild to say. I think I'm going to be doing some panels and stuff there. If you happen to be a part of the Rooster Teeth family, you see me, say hello. So I'll be a part of that. And then a lot of DJ stuff happening like this month and next month. I think I can say this by the time. I think I can announce this now, but you know, most likely will be at Twitch Amsterdam because my panel that I wrote got accepted. So I found out this
week. That's going
to
be
fun.
I'm
not supposed to talk about that, but you know, I guess I can tell you.
You'll be there by then. You're good. You're good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll be there. And then I think I'll be at TwitchCon San Diego as well. So doing all that stuff and getting back into convention life safely, of course. Looking forward to doing more stuff like for Softgiving. And I'm just looking forward to the rest of the year because like I have so much stuff happening. I'm just trying to keep up. You know what I mean? This has been like the wildest few years of my life so far. Like I feel like I just am now starting to hit the peak of like where I want to go towards, you know? So
Well, it sounds like it's not the peak. It sounds like it's just accelerating and your foot is on the gas a little bit, which sounds exciting. Yeah. It sounds really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
If people want to find you, they should definitely find you at Amsterdam, TwitchCon Amsterdam or San Diego. But if they want to find you online, where's the best place to find you?
You can find me on Twitter at IamBrandonTV. I'm on Twitch at IamBrandon. I'm also on TikTok at IamBrandonTV, on Instagram at IamBrandonTV. But yeah, YouTube, IamBrandonTV as well. So just look up IamBrandonTV. You'll find me in all those places.
Consistent branding everywhere.
That is very important. Yeah, you got to have socials. Everything has to be the same.
Cool. Brandon, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I wanted to just end this with a little bit of context on why we do what we do. We're former content creators ourselves, and we just really want to help as many content creators as we can. That's why we started Pipeline.gg. It's a platform where you can find other like-minded creators and learn from the pros who have already been there. Get step-by-step guidance so you can avoid all the mistakes that we made in the beginning. If you love the episode, there's going to be even more inside of Pipeline. So check it out. Head over to Pipeline.gg.